But first, ladies and gentlemen, be upstanding for the approach of the Aspidistra. Lovely to have you back. And I must say, Laura, that electric cars have become something of an election issue.
Who would have thought, Philip? Who would have thought? It's been a very bizarre week in Australian politics, and electric cars are right at the centre of it. I think they're sort of going away, but it's been a very strange week.
Well, what are the strange manifestations?
There are a couple of things that have gone on, Philip. I think since we last spoke, we've had the official election campaign announced. But before it was announced, the government seemed to do this test run of scare campaigns built around electric cars, which was really weird because essentially Labor had proposed a target for electric cars, which is essentially the same figure that the government's forecast itself, and which people like Josh Frydenberg only last year were sort of advocating as a good thing. But they decided that this was something that might cut through, particularly in the bush, that if they said that that Labor wanted to make you get an electric car and get rid of your car, and most particularly your ute, the end of the world would come about. So I've got to say it's been a while since I've seen such a spectacular bit of fiction run by a government for several days and in quite such an hysterical way as it was. It sort of seems to have passed, except even today a related issue about Labor's target for emissions reductions in cars was being used by the Prime Minister, who went up on some sort of digger gadget thing at a nursery and suggested that this too would sort of fall victim to Bill Shorten's emissions target reductions, where in fact the emissions reductions targets only apply to passenger vehicles anyway. So the election has got off to a fairly bizarre and frenzied start. And since then we've had a scare about, or not a scare, we've had an attack on Labor's costings on its tax cuts, on its hospital funding, and most noisily today on its promises on cancer funding. So I think we're getting a bit of a flavour of what sort of campaign we're going to get for the next 4 weeks or so.
There was confirmation in a news poll today of the 52-48 split.
There was, and I think we talked last week about the fact that if you looked at where all the polls had come from, that was roughly the split where things had settled. I think the interesting thing that everybody suddenly focused on is that the primary vote of the two parties is starting to nudge up, and One Nation's really been tanking, particularly over the last month, but even before the Four Corners story appeared about the National Rifle Association meetings. So that's going to make for a very different campaign, particularly in Queensland, though. What happens with One Nation is you get these little pockets of really big One Nation support, which can still influence particular seats. And I think that's one of the reasons why this campaign is so hard to read, because there are so many third parties and independents running in right across the country this time around.
I know that we don't focus on local government issues, state government issues, but One Nation has consolidated in New South Wales.
It has. Mark Latham and a colleague are going to get two spots in the New South Wales upper house, which makes it all a bit interesting. David Lionhelm, the Liberal Democratic Senator who decided that he had better chances in the New South Wales Parliament, had claimed victory a couple of weeks ago. But in fact, when the final count came out today, he'd been knocked off by a combination of One Nation and the Animal Justice Party, Philip. So it's going to be a bit of fun time for the Berejiklian government over the next 4 years, dealing with a quite large crossbench in the upper house, and of course Mark Latham, that bastion of stable views on a wide range of subjects, is going to be right in the thick of it.
Do you think any of the messages of of the PM or Shortener getting through?
There's not a lot of indication that people are really engaged yet. I think you hear a few things around and about. For example, the Utes stuff about electric vehicles last week. Apparently, the focus groups are saying in the cities and towns, as they say, people are just going, "What's this about? This is ludicrous." But it did have some cut through in the bush. Now, I don't know whether that was where it was targeted or not. We interviewed Nikki Sava on 7:30 last week, who was saying that she thought that this was a bit of a test run of the whole negative campaigning. It is a really sensitive issue in the coalition that they believe Malcolm Turnbull wasn't negative enough last time, and they're determined to do it. But I just think people are really sick of being screamed at, so I just don't know how successful that's going to be for them. And are they going to be able to keep it up for 4 weeks, Philip? This is the other question. I mean, are we just going to have this series of, you know, scares about different things? I suppose the thing that's interesting to me is that the bottom line of where the campaign is now is that what we're mainly talking about is Bill Shorten and his policies, for good or bad. The government's just piling on really big time about him and trying to feed that sort of dislike or, you know, ambivalence to Bill Shorten that we've talked about in the past, and really just do the classic old thing of raising questions about the credibility of Labor's policies. Now, Labor's trying to talk about cancer, and I think the message is sort of getting out there, but it's not a particularly attractive proposition at the moment for most voters to take into, you know, take much notice of.
I think as the momentum builds, the negative stuff is just going to be frenzied. Peter Dutton, case in point, he's had to apologise. Well, it was a quasi apology at best for those terrible comments about his Labor opponent, Arlie France, about an above knee amputation.
Yes, so he came out and suggested that she was using her disability as an amputee as an excuse not to move into the electorate, which was, even for Peter Dutton, you know, a new breakthrough in classy politics. So it's not at all good. I think it shows that he thinks he's in really, really big trouble. You've got the sort of bizarre spectacle of this sort of football mascot character called Captain Get Up wandering around in some electorates harassing people, and then somebody posting a rather unfortunate video from the Advance Australia group who's supporting him, of him sort of rubbing himself up against a picture of Zali Steggall, the candidate taking on Tony Abbott in Warringah. So there's some really bizarre things going on, Philip. I think the signs of sort of a desperation, I suppose, on the coalition side, a sort of fairly widespread. We talked last week about the fact that there are still coalition candidates to be pre-selected. There was a rush of those last week, and I think the rush has been reflected in the fact that three of the candidates in safe Labor seats in Melbourne had to withdraw over questions about their citizenship status. And it just makes you think there's a lot of lack of preparedness in the coalition camp, which could still really rebound on them over the course of the campaign.
There are, of course, troubles thither and yon. I was sad to read that a Labor candidate has withdrawn because she dared to make some rather obvious observations on what's happening in Israel.
Melissa Park, who was the member in Fremantle in the past. That's right, I think. Sorry, it's been a long day. She withdrew from politics a couple of years ago, and she announced a couple of weeks ago that she was going to run as Labor's candidate in Curtin, which is Julie Bishop's seat that she's just vacating. But it emerged that she made some comments about a pregnant Palestinian woman being forced to drink bleach on the Israeli border and felt compelled to leave, which I think Bill Shorten and others said was because she didn't want to be a distraction for the campaign. But there's been further rumblings about other candidates during the course of the day, and about whether they've talked about things that make reflections on Israel, Philip, and Bill Shorten's come out to say, well, whatever has been said, you know, we support the current sort of situation. So it's we don't seem to be capable of dealing with foreign policy issues in an election campaign, especially one that's this frantic.
What about Tony Abbott's campaign? That's fascinating, just as a piece of street theatre.
Well, it is. I think the thing that's interesting about that is there's been a lot of talk about how much money's gone in through GetUp, or how much support there's been through GetUp against Tony Abbott. But I think there's quite a lot of money going in to support him as well. But he's been taking this very parochial view, making these incredibly hokey videos where he's putting his sticker on the back of his car, or going back to the electric vehicles thing, putting a sticker on the back of his car saying that nobody's going to take your car away from you, and saying how great his very old Mercedes is and things like that. We saw him talking about portable toilets at Manly Beach and discovering street libraries. He's really gone so local, but he still keeps getting into trouble on climate change. It's like he's been forced into a box, and is every so often he just breaks out of it.
It'll all be over soon, Laura. The next few weeks will seem like eternity, but we'll get there. Laura Tingle, Chief Political Correspondent for 7:30 LNL on RN.